Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Preaching to Myself. My name is John Hill. So glad to have you back. I think this is episode 9 or something like that. Either way, thanks for hanging out. Real quick before we dive in, don't forget to, if you want to follow along on the socials, hit up the link tree. It's linktr.ee/preachingtomyself. There will be links to everywhere where you can listen to the podcast, as well as Facebook page, the Instagram account, as well as the merch store. If you want to pick up a t-shirt or something like that, all of the money helps me buy gear and stuff like that. So it kind of helps keep things going. Also, on whatever platform that you listen, if you're able to leave a review, go ahead and do that on Apple or whatever. Go and do that. That would be greatly appreciated. So, this past weekend, our church, maybe once a year will do, our service will be what's called a 5x5. There will be, 5 different speakers with, 5-minute-long messages. So it gives you a good perspective of different people from, across the house, giving their own, personal testimony and kind of different scripture that correlates with that. So one thing that we did this year was also in our kids and student spaces in church. We did something similar. So our middle school students had a 3x3, 3 students giving 3-minute-long messages. And one of those was, my oldest daughter, Lucy, which is awesome. I sat in on that and, tried to not make her feel nervous about that. Tried not to be, you know, sitting in the back like my baby. That is not me. But it was really cool. It was really cool to see my kid and kind of see similar mannerisms and, speech patterns and things like that kind of come through on her. Somewhere around here in my garage, I have a CD of the very first time that I preached. Gosh, I was 18 years old probably, and it is an absolute dumpster fire. So if I find that, maybe I'll throw a clip of it up on the podcast. I think that would be a good laugh for all of us. So, you know, hey, follow along, subscribe for that to hear an absolute train wreck. So I just wanted to give my kid a shout out, even though I know that she definitely doesn't listen, because looking at the analytics of the podcast, literally not a single person under the age of 18 listens to this. But hey, that means this one's for the grown folk, right? So anyways, listen, train your kids up. Even though everything good about my kids, I concede to my wife, because she is incredible and raising them to be kind. But man, it's just really cool to see your kids walking it out. So make sure that you train them up in the way of the Lord, so they don't depart from it. This week on the podcast, we're going to talk about being quiet. In fact, this room is quiet and it's nice. I like it. But we're going to talk about quiet this week. So real quick, we're going to take an ad break. And then when we come back, we will talk about quiet. All right. We're back from our beautiful ad break. I wanted to talk about quiet. It's been something that's been on my mind because life is hectic, right? Certainly, I'm not the only person around here with a hectic life. We've got 4 kids, age ranged 12 down to 2. And then we have a 2-month-old foster baby that, there's just something going on all the time. There's always noise. And that is especially tough if you want to do something like, say, record a podcast. I may or may not be recording this at around 2:00 in the morning. It's fine. Listen, I can't hang in my mid 30s, like I used to in my 20s, man. In my 20s, I'd be able to just like rock this out, no problem. Little rough in my mid 30s, I gotta be honest with you. But there's always something going on, and it's hard to focus on the things that'll grow me spiritually, right? And it's gotta be the same way for you, right? Sometimes it's just hard to focus on the good things that'll grow you spiritually, meaning like taking that time with God, digging into your Bible, prayer, like sitting down and just praying. I know that I should be spending time on this kind of stuff, but I make it difficult with all the things that I have going on or the things that I just put in front of myself, right? But we can't just find time to spend with God, right? I always hear that, well, you know, if I find time to do this, if I find the time to do that, and it's like, you keep looking, right? Like we can just look and look and look, and we'll never find the time. If you go looking for time, you're not going to find any. Time is made by carving other things out of your hours. 1 Kings chapter 19 tells the story of the prophet Elijah. He was running from Jezebel, who wanted to kill him. He ran into the wilderness and he was just like, you know what? Like, I'm good. I'm just ready to die. Like, Lord, I'm just going to lay here under this tree and die. An angel provided for him, gave him food, and he kept living. He ended up wandering on and found himself in a cave. And this is where we pick up in verse 9. It says, suddenly the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of armies, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are looking for me to take my life. Then he said, go and stand on the mountain in the Lord's presence. At that moment, the Lord passed by. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountain and was shattering cliffs before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Then after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper. Elijah was able to hear the voice of God and get his direction and be in his presence in a soft whisper. See, we expect God to be in these big, dramatic wind and earthquake moments, but he's waiting for us to mute the noise and focus on him. So how do we break the static in favor of these whispers? I've got a couple of suggestions. First, we have to make the time. Like I said earlier, you'll never find the time. You have to make it. You have to make the time. Time is like a budget that always gets 100% spent, no matter what. So you're going to have to make some cuts for the things that are truly most important to you. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 15 and 16 says, pay careful attention then to how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of your time. Literally translates to buying back the time. We have to buy back our time because it's going to get spent no matter what. So it's up to us to buy it back. We have to buy back our time. We have to win it back. How do we do that? Where do we make our budget cuts, right? Well, may I suggest this? Start with your phone, because I don't know if you're anything like me. I hope you're not. No. Most people have their phone in their hand a lot, probably more than we should or want to, really. It becomes this crazy, gross habit that we have of just scrolling through social media or watching videos, or if you have a game that you're really into or whatever, none of these things are inherently bad, right? You know, scrolling through a social feed or reading some articles, these things aren't bad, but it's how we use that time that's bad. It's how we waste that time that's bad, right? The socials and the videos, they're murdering our time. These time wasters can't be in the budget if we're going to buy our time back. There's no room in the budget. Guys, we got to make cuts. All right, sorry. Phone time is cut. Screen time is cut. And listen, we've been having this back and forth with my son. He's 7, and sometimes the screen time gets too much. The screen time gets too much, and it's late nights. It's don't want to wake up for church. It's not wanting to do, you know what I mean? That becomes the priority. And when you staring at a screen, and again, as a reminder, this is called preaching to myself. When staring at a screen takes priority over pretty much anything else, over even doing something that would improve us, praying, reading a Bible, spending time with your kids. Listen, I'm not just trying to Jesus juke you and guilt you into at all times I need to be reading scripture, or at all times I need to be head bowed, eyes closed. Like, yes, get these things in, make the time for them, but also like what's truly important in our lives. Cause honestly, this YouTube rabbit hole that I was going to go down about like science experiments or, you know, like dudes fixing stuff or whatever, like that's great, but how is that fulfilling to my life? Is this really a value add into my life? Like I said, if time is a budget that's going to get 100% ate up no matter what, then man, what am I really fitting into the budget? Because think about it. If we're budgeting our time, and this is real quick and fast, and this is for most people, right? Most days. So we're supposed to get 8 hours of sleep, LOL, right? Like no way that's happening. Okay, so we're going to say like 6 to 8-ish hours, right? And then 8 hours at least at work, right? Maybe, you know, maybe 9 or 10 tack on travel time and lunch breaks and all that kind of stuff. So that's over half the day just gone. That's well over half. That's like 2/3 of the day. Like I'm trying to do math on a podcast. It's not working out, but you know what I mean? Like there's things that are non-negotiables in our budget that are going to happen. We're going to sleep. We're going to have to eat. We're going to have to work. We're like, there's these things that we can't compromise on. So if we're going to clear out our life like it's a cardboard box, the first thing we have to put back in, if we're going to reorganize and shuffle thing, and then everything else goes around them, right? Take your life, dump everything out on the floor, shuffle it all around, pick up the first thing that's most important. And the correct answer, I always get on my middle school guys. I lead a small group on Tuesday nights with them. And there's always that one kid that every time you ask a question, the answer is Jesus. And I'm like, listen, okay, so like we all know technically Jesus is probably the right answer to most questions, all right? But like try to think a little deeper, right? But in this case, Jesus is the right answer. The first thing that you reach for to put back in your box to organize your life is Jesus. We allocate our time to Jesus. Again, preaching to myself here. So make the time. Set a time. Right? When we make a time, we set a time and a place. People that are much smarter than me and more organized and do fantastic speaking engagements for businesses and things like that. Guys like John Acuff will say that you're like 80 billion times more likely to succeed at a goal if you have a dedicated time and place to work on that goal, right? and praying and reading our Bible needs to be a goal, not just a, yeah, well, if I get to it, right? Like a legitimate real world goal. I have a goal to do this every day, to make it a habit, right? So set a time, set a place, because you are making time in the budget. We got to make cuts. All right. Phone's got to go. I'm telling myself this, and as I'm reading my notes off of a phone, what am I doing? It's all good. Delete whatever apps you need to delete. Set safeguards for yourself. Set limits. But we've got to build the habit of just getting this glass rectangle out of our hand and digging into the Word. All right. Second thing is this. Fix your focus. You got to fix your focus. If you're reading the Bible, really focus on what you're reading. It's more than just words on a page. It's not just information, right? The Bible is it's alive, right? God uses it. He speaks to you through it. So there's something deeper there than just ink on a page. It is alive. So absorb it. Focus on what the scripture is saying. If you're praying, be dialed in to a conversation with God. Really dial in. I'm going to be real with y'all, and I want this to be one of those moments where I want somebody listening to this to say, finally, I'm not the only one. So let's be real, real with each other. Sometimes it is so easy, especially in like a group prayer setting and church or something like that, to just zone out. And like your brain goes like completely out in left field of like, man, like, I wonder, like, you know, like coming up with some kind of invention, or like, what would be the best way to attach this 2x4 to this to build the, you know what I mean? Like just random stuff. However, this also could just be me, and I am just laying it out there, and people are like, wow, John is nuts. I don't know. So please let me know. I can't be the only one that sometimes finds it real hard to focus on prayer and what's being said. Sometimes some of us don't have like the tightest attention span. We have to really fight for those moments. So fight for those moments. Fight for fixing your focus on prayer. Thessalonians 3 verses 1 and 2 says this. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not earthly things. Leave it all behind. Mentally check your baggage at the door. When you step into prayer, when you step into reading scripture, when you step into that quiet time with God, check everything else out. Like, just leave it. I'm telling you, Satan's going to come and try to just the most innocent things of like, man, I wonder what I'm going to make for dinner tonight. Like, man, is there... I need to do some laundry, like all these tasks, all these boxes I got to check. Even if it's just a thought, even if you don't actually get up and do it, the thought is the thing that distracts you, right? Like doing the thing would be the physical, like I'm breaking the habit of being in prayer. The thought is what kind of internally takes you out of it. So honestly, like start a prayer by just like, man, God, just... remove these distractions, because they're just ridiculous sometimes. And it's tough. And I feel you. Like I am on the same wavelength. Like, trust me, it's tough. But we can do this, right? You just fix your focus on the things above, not on these earthly things. Not that it doesn't matter what's going on around us. Proverbs 4:25 says to look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. When you are in prayer, when you are in the Bible, it is right in front of you. Be in the moment with God. Don't take yourself out of the moment. Really plant yourself in this moment. Say, God, I am here. I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to serve. I'm ready to do this thing. I'm ready to absorb the information. I'm ready to become more like you through this. So help me to just really see what you have right in front of me. Stop thinking about what you have to do later or next week or what task has to be accomplished, and just be in the moment with God. See, making the time means that you have to remove outside distractions. And fixing your focus means that you have to remove internal distractions. Both of those things are going to come after you. Satan is going to try to get after you, man. I promise. Satan's going to try to come after you inside your head in the form of just random stuff or outside things. And things that you're going to be like, oh, well, like, I have to do this. Like, this isn't a bad thing. But if you're intentionally setting a time and a place that I'm going to pray, I'm going to dig into this word, everything, it's like you're not even home. In fact, don't be home. I don't know. Go somewhere. Like, just leave your kids. I'm not condoning you leaving your kids. But before they get up, before you go to bed, after you lay them down, whatever it is, like if you're a morning person, if you're a night person, like whatever that distraction is, leave it at the door. Because what you spend your time on is what's important to you. What you make the time for reflects what is most important to you. Be consistent, be disciplined. Right? Discipline over motivation. That was one of the 10 things in our first episodes. Go back and listen to the first couple episodes. Be consistent. Do this daily. Set the habits. Habits are harder to break when you've actually made it a habit. Be disciplined. But listen, give yourself grace. If you miss a day or two, whatever, like give yourself the gift of forgiveness. Get right back up. Keep going. Nobody's here with a notebook that's going to beat you up for missing a day. Just do the thing because you know it's good for your soul, because it's good to become more Christ-like. Nothing bad is going to come from prayer and reading your Bible. I promise. Nothing bad is going to happen. You're not missing out on anything. You are improving yourself. You're going to the spiritual gym. Do that. Set goals, track your progress. You know, like one of those, organized people, get a notebook, track this stuff, bullet journal, like actually just journal, write down what you're learning, write down what you're praying, make this stuff real, trackable, actionable. When you put pen to paper, you make it real in your life. So make it real. Make this stuff worthwhile. God will use it and grow you, and you can look back and see what God is doing and what you're asking for and what He's answered, and it just grows your faith and it becomes this big cycle. It becomes this loop, and you become better, and you keep reminding yourself you're building your faith and you're using your faith building to build your faith, and you just become this unstoppable snowball of awesomeness when it comes to following Jesus. So don't be afraid to just like be extra with this. Make it a little date with the Lord. Like, you know, get some coffee. Do whatever motivates you, whatever seems appealing to you. Create a little nook in your house. Like create a space, create a time. And just be quiet. with God. You know, when I was younger, I used to love loud music, like I'm sure most of you. I'm sure most of you have enjoyed loud music, but if you didn't know, I was a DJ for many years. Loud music was my thing, man. And after I had kids, some switch flipped, and I was like, man, you never notice. And fellow parents, you're totally going to vibe with me on this. You don't know how loud that TV is until you turn it off. You don't realize like how obnoxious that one kids show theme song is until you realize like, oh snap, my kid's been taking a nap for like an hour and I'm still watching this. Let me turn it off real quick. And when you hit off, and that silence hits you like a ton of bricks. And you're like, oh, man. Silence is like refreshing. Right? I used to drive in my car blasting my stereo. It's loud because I was a kid. I was, you know, 18, 19, 20. And I thought that was the coolest thing in the world to just like, oh, if my rearview mirror is rattling, like I'm a cool guy or whatever. But man, sometimes I just drive in silence now. Or I might like listen to a podcast or something. If you're listening in the car, what up? But man, sometimes that's silence, dude. It just hits different. So spend that quiet time with God. There is instances in Jesus' lifetime where he actually took his disciples and he said, let's find a quiet place and pray. Let's find a quiet place and rest. Let's get away from the people for a while and be with God. And if we're called to be Christ-like, we're supposed to follow Jesus in doing that, right? Get away from the people, even the little people. Get away from the hustle. Get away from the stuff. Get away from the tasks and just be with God. Breathe in the quiet. Try your best not to fall asleep. But you know what? You need rest sometimes. You know what I'm saying? You need rest sometimes. And hey, if you happen to take a little nap, okay, maybe that wasn't in the time budget, but still, spend time with God in the quiet. It is not bad for you, I promise. It will only improve us. But hey, what do I know? I'm just preaching to myself, right? Anyways, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Preaching Myself. Thank you so much for listening. You're the best. If you've been listening, if you've left a review, you're super rad, and I appreciate you. All the people that have talked to me about the show, that have come up to me, that have blessed me in some way, sown into this as a ministry. Man, I can't thank you enough. Just that there are people that are just like, man, John, like we believe in you, man. It's really cool. It's a really cool feeling. So listen, the link tree has all the links to the socials and every platform that you could possibly want to listen to this podcast on. Make sure you do that. If you're following, thank you so much. Leave a review. It's super rad. But anyways, thank you so much for checking out the pod. We will see you next time. Appreciate myself. Later. Peace.